Welcome to the Songs of Note podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Gregg. Hey, thanks for joining me today for another episode of the podcast talking about famous songs or songs that are really good or songs that are, worth talking about. And so one of the things that I love is not only rock music, which you know if you listen to this show, but I also love pop music. And a lot of us come in contact with pop music, whether we like it or not, because it's the popular culture and you run into it. So I'm going to talk about some of that stuff too, so I hope that's all right. So a popular song that I still love is a song from Hall & Oates' 1982 record. The album was H2O. It was their 11th record, and the song is Man Eater. You know this song. Whoa, here she comes. Such a catchy song. You can't deny that it's not catchy. It's not going to probably win any like deep awards maybe, but this song's great. And I wondered the story behind it. And in case you're wondering the story behind it, I've got some stuff to share. So first off, it was the band's 11th album. So they had been together for a number of years at this point. Their first album came out in 1972. So this is 10 years into the group, which is impressive already. They had already had a string of hits leading up to Man Eater. They had the song Rich Girl, Private Eyes, Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams. I mean, this is like me growing up in the 80s. I remember those songs. I guess those came out before 82, but those were the songs that they were writing and releasing up and leading up to Man Eater. John Oates was talking about what the song was written about. He was asked, and people always thought it was about a woman. And he says, well, this is a quote, well, it was actually about New York City. After the fact, I got the idea for the song because there was a woman who was very beautiful, but had a very foul, you know, vocabulary. It was the juxtaposition of this great beauty with this foul mouth that really kind of sparked an idea to me that she should chew you up and spit you out. But neither Daryl nor I wanted to write a song that was negative towards women. So what we did was transpose that initial idea and use New York City in the 80s as a metaphor. New York City became the man-eater, the city that would chew you up and spit you out. And that's what the song is really about. I was like, oh, that's crazy. So as far as when it was written in 1982. He says, one thing I'll tell you is the natural schedule turned out such that we'd always seem to record in the late fall. There was a reason for that, because we would tour in the spring through the summer, and we would write in the late summer and early fall, and then we'd record in the early fall or in the late fall. So my guess is that song was either written in the late summer or early fall of 82, the year the record came out. There's something really, I don't know if it's magical, but there's a tangible feeling you get when you listen to this song. It sounds very 80s, and you kind of embrace it. Like, they really went all in on the 80s sound. And there's something that is like really putting yourself out there when you do that. You know, think about the different genres and decades of music, whether it's 60s or grunge or whatever it is. When you embrace it, you are putting a stamp on it and saying, I am this. It gives you the chance to be that much more of the moment and popular. And it also puts a time stamp on you that as soon as that phase is out, your popularity in that song may also be out. So there's something I really like about decade specific music. And this is so 80s. And so when asked if there was something magical about the song, Oates said that particular song, well, all the songs are magical in a way because they all come from nothing. That's what songwriting is all about. The beauty that songwriters and the skill that songwriters seem to have is that they can take things that are happening in the world, whether they're emotional or physical or literal, and they can somehow translate that into music and some sort of musical expression that people can relate to. That's what songwriters do, and that's what makes it so unique. I would agree. And if you're listening to this podcast because you love music, I would think in some respect you might agree as well. So when talking about the actual writing of the song, Daryl Hall says, John had written a prototype of Man Eater. He was banging it around with Edgar Winter. It was like a reggae song. And if you go back and listen to this recording, that was the thing I picked up on, was kind of the tone of the guitar. You know, in reggae, it's boom, tick, 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 doom, tick, tick, tick. It's a real specific sound. It's trebly. It's very rhythmic. And so that made sense to me hearing that. So he had written a prototype of the song, and it was reggae. So he said, Daryl Hall says, well, the chords are interesting, but I think we should change the groove. I changed it to that Motown kind of groove. So we did that, and we played it for someone named Sarah Allen, sang it for her. "Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater." And I forget what the last line was. She said, drop that at the end and go, "She's a man eater," and stop. And I said, "No, you're crazy. That's messed up." Then I thought about it and realized she was right. And it made all the difference in the song. So some arranging, some careful breaks, and then remembering that a pop song is very simple at its heart. And you want it to say the clear thing clearest. And man eater was their clear thing. In this track, it's, you know, being of the 80s, there's a saxophone, because why not? So the saxophone on this track is played by Charles Deschamps, who's a longtime collaborator with the band. He played on this giant list of Hall & Oates tracks, I Can't Go For That, No Can Do, Private Eyes, Out of Touch, and more. And then if you are a fan of Blondie, he also played on the track Rapture. When I was looking up quotes from other musicians about Maneater, because everybody knows Maneater, Brandon Flowers from The Killers said, "Hall & Oates are so good. Maneater is a classic, classic song. I could put that on at a club and see the reaction." John Mayer said, "Hall & Oates has such an incredible catalog of songs, and Maneater is definitely one of their standouts. It's got that infectious groove that just makes you want to move." Daryl Hall and John Oates are great songwriters. Maneater is a perfect example of their knack for writing catchy melodies and thought-provoking lyrics. It's one of those songs that gets stuck in your head for days, said Billy Joel. So Billy Joel is somebody who is writing, those are his contemporaries, he's writing along at the same time as these guys writing giant hits, just like they were. And, you know, these are top guys saying that this song is good, this song is, you know, worth listening to, worth paying attention to. You know, when you listen to the track, the thing that I also noticed was the drum sound. The percussion sound was very interesting. And so here's a little bit about it. The story goes that while experimenting with different sounds and textures for the song, producer Neil Kernan and the band were struggling to find the right percussive elements to give Maneater its signature groove. In a moment of inspiration, they decided to use an unusual object, a drum machine called the Simmons SDSV, which was relatively new technology at the time. The Simmons SDSV was primarily known for its electronic drum sounds, but they discovered that by layering it with traditional drums, they could achieve a unique and futuristic sound that perfectly complemented the song's dark and atmospheric vibe, because it is dark. It is a dark-sounding song, but it's still upbeat. The combination of electronic and acoustic percussion not only added depth to the track, but it helped Maneater stand out in the crowded pop music landscape of the early 1980s. The song went on to be a milestone in their career. It's one that we all still know. The reggae version of the song that John Oates had written initially, you know, when he was initially playing around with it, he went on just in this past year to release a version of it. So if you're curious to hear him playing a reggae version of it, you can. Those two, Hall & Oates, are now at odds, I believe. I don't think they're getting along these days, but they are certainly one of the top duos of all time, and this is a great pop track, in my opinion. So you can go listen to it now. The link will be in the show notes on both Spotify and Apple Music, and thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.